Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Hey, thank you so much for that warm, wonderful introduction, Isaiah. And hey, good morning, people, and it's a great day, a beautiful morning, and you're listening to Home-Based Business 101, and today on Home-Based Business 101, our featured show is The Gospel of Working from Home with yours truly, me, Baba Jahi. Hey, we had a great week last week, and before getting into show content for this show, just want to recap how last week went, and the chat room is open for those that want to chat, who are listening to this live on their computer, and those who are on the call-in line is 712-432-3100, and PIN number is 513-088. If you want to just listen, call in on that line. During the show, if you have a question, you can call in on the Blog Talk line, which is 646-595-4222. That is a call-in line for questions, because I don't keep people on that line. I only see five people in the switchboard on the Blog Talk. And so I ask people, if you got a question or a comment, you call in on that line. And again, if you just want to listen, then you can listen by calling in to 712-432-3100, and then you put in the PIN number, 513-088. We also have, like I said, the chat room open for those that are on the computer and want to chat while the show is going on, and you can do that. Okay, that's some of the housekeeping things I needed to take care of. And, you know, I'm excited this morning. I really am. I'm excited to be able to share what I'm going to share. But again, as I said, I want to do is recap last week. And, you know, we're really thankful for all of those people who are tuning in. We've been a host here on Blog Talk Radio since November the 3rd, 2007. Since then, we've had 28,316 profile views, and over 17,573 people out there have listened to one of our shows. And so, again, we want to thank those people for their support. You know, in numbers means a lot. And, you know, 17,573 people have felt that this is a worthwhile show to listen to. And, again, like I said, thank you for tuning in and supporting this show, Home-Based Business 101. Now, recapping last week, you know, we kicked the week off with The Gospel of Working from Home, which is a show I do on Sunday mornings. And then on Tuesdays, we have Ms. Regina Christian, who comes on, and she shares the Mentoring for Free system. And the Mentoring for Free system basically actually mentors people for free. Yes, you know, you heard the word correctly. Yes, for free. And they give out some very good information. I mean, she covered Tuesday, the 30-day mental cleanse, and why it's important at times when you want to accelerate your business, or, you know, I say not even just your business, because a lot of these principles you can apply basically to life. You want to accelerate your business, accelerate your life. Cut the TV off. You know, one of the things that's really interesting, like I said, you'll hear me talk a lot about, you know, Mark Yarnell, which is a person that, you know, I do some studying, and I'm so excited about what I'm going to cover today, because this person I'm going to share with information with you today was on the scene before Mark. But, you know, he talks about that, Mark Yarnell talks about the news, and that he says, really, you only really need to watch the news about once a week, because the rest is that basically people are dressed up entertainers that are giving you propaganda. You know, and controlled substance in terms of, you know, information that is given out. And so, you know, if you catch it once a week, you pretty much will be able to keep up with what's going on with the news. And so when she talked about the 30-day mental cleanse, you know, that was so powerful in terms of, you know, just cleansing yourself mentally to prepare yourself for the tasks and things that you want to do. And then, you know, Thursday night we had Mall Call, in which we share with people how to get cash back from shopping online. And we still have some gift certificates to give away, and I'll talk about that, you know, throughout the broadcast today, because we're going to be on for an hour today because of the topic we want to cover. And then on Friday we had the Jasari's Love Show. My wife, Mama Jahi, has a show she does on Friday, A Woman's Perspective, from working from home, and she covered a lot of good information. And so we had a great week. It had over, when I checked the numbers, we had over 200 people that listened to various shows that we did last week. So, again, we want to thank those people. Again, numbers mean a lot. You know, it means that someone's out there is hearing what we're saying, and we hope that people are applying it. Well, you know, today's topic, as you saw on the marquee for us, today's show is... We're focusing on George Sabira's book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. That's the book. We're going to go through some information today, and we're going to attempt to get through the first four chapters, which is Coming to Grips with Your Financial Ignorance, What is Wealth, Common Characteristics of Fortune Builders, and then a question, you know, that I always... you know, like to share with people, what's holding black folks in poverty. And hey, you know, we're going to have some fun. And, you know, again, we talk about the secrets of working from home, because we believe the following, and that's why this is called the gospel of working from home. We believe a home-based business can save your life. You hear what I said? A home-based business can save your life if you do it right, because there are tax savings, time freedom that you gain, and, you know, which allows you to have more time for yourself, your family, your community, and for God. And working from home can truly be a blessing from God if you let it be. So, you know, that's the theme of this show. And, again, I can say, you know, I'm excited this morning as we get ready to dive into this book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, written by George Sabira. This book was written in 1980. I had a chance to talk to Brother George yesterday, and I've got a surprise for y'all next week. We will have Mr. Sabira here on the Gospel of Working from Home and, you know, sharing information. Again, he wrote this book in 1980, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. Now, again, you know, I'm a network marketer, and I'm into networking and all of that. And the thing is that, you know, like I said, one of the people that you hear me refer to a lot, Mark Yarnell. Mark didn't come on the scene in 1986. George wrote this book in 1980. And the things that he talks about that people, other people are sharing with folk about what they need to do to position themselves, you know, because that's what life is about, is learning how to position yourself. You know, it's same with, you know, a person playing basketball and stuff like that. You know, a lot of times people talk about the great Chicago Bulls team and, you know, how great Mike was. Well, you know, Mike was great. Yes, he was. He was a tremendous leader. But, you know, the key components of that team, which, you know, one that people don't talk about a lot, some do that know the game, is there's a person on that team named Dennis Rodman who's getting 18 boards a night, 18 boards for your follow basketball, you know what I mean, you know, rebounds. And that gave, you know, either took away an extra shot from the other team or gave your team another shot. And most of his rebounds were offensive rebounds, which means he was giving his team extra shots. And that makes a difference. And in order to get a rebound, you have to know how to position yourself on the basketball court. So in order to be able to become successful in business, you need to know how to position yourself. And that's so key. And so, you know, what George talks about, again, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, is learning how one needs to position themselves and the things that they need to do. Now, the thing that's really interesting is that, you know, when he talks about this book, when he wrote it, which he wrote in 1980, and again, we talked yesterday And, you know, he was saying that, you know, right now, if you want to get the book, you can go on Amazon and get it, because he doesn't have. He wrote it in 1980, and he says, you know, he doesn't have 3,000 copies. You have to go print, get 3,000 copies. And unless he was assured he had 3,000 people that wanted to buy the book, you know, then he would go to print and, you know, get it reprinted. But he was talking about how in the bookstores today, when you go into the African-American community, that we don't see books like this anymore. You know, you see most of the gangster novel, hip-hop, you know, Who Shot Your Mama books and things like that, which is really sad. And so, you know, but he talked about when he wrote this book, he said, you know, hey, he wrote this book because he wanted people to understand how to be able to have an alternative to what we see every day in terms of our understanding of America. And again, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, the problem is racism. Racism does exist, but I challenge you to think about this. You know, even during a more racist climate, which was, I would say, you know, and some people argue, say, well, you know, it's like today is, you know, is just as bad, if not worse, than the period I'm about to tell you. But, you know, in the 1920s, with all that was going on, Madam C.J. Walker found a way to become a millionaire. Had over, I believe it was 20,000 distributors who was, you know, distributing products for, she had her own factory. So, you know, what's our excuse? You know, and so George says is that it starts off with coming to grips with our financial ignorance. So let's look at that first chapter, coming to grips with our financial ignorance. And he points out 4 points, and I'm going to take those 4 points and attempt to break them down. Again, the chat room is open for those that want to chat. You can chat. If you have a question as we move along, the call-in number to ask questions is 646-595-4222. And for those out there that are just listening, the call-in number is 712-432-3100, PIN number 513088. Okay, we're going through Chapter 1, Coming to Grips with Your Financial Ignorance, out of Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. Okay. Number one, he says, we really don't know what wealth is and how many ways it can be measured. Okay, and these are premises that he's going to break down in the rest of the book, in the next three chapters. So let's look at this first premise that he's going to help us come to grips with, is that we really don't know what wealth is and how many ways it can be measured. Number two, we poor folks have very little knowledge of what the rich folks do to get their money and hold on to it. Again, and you've heard me, you know, refer to Why We Want You to Be Rich by Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, as they attempt to, you know, share some of the things that they do. And, you know, again, we ask people to make sure that did you pick up this literature? And again, you know, this book right here by Brother George Shabir was written in 1980, and it's so much on point because some of us today still don't know what rich folks do, you know, to get their money and how they hold on to it. Number three, we really do not understand how our own habits keep us in the poorhouse and keep us from seeing and doing what the rich do. We have some habits. Habits that keep us from seeking a money prosperity consciousness. We have habits that keep us with a poverty consciousness. And that's what he's talking about, you know, in terms of these habits. And we're going to break some of those down as we move through the chapters. But I say this first chapter he has is a short chapter, 2 pages, coming to grips with your financial ignorance. And he has 4 major points that he's pointing out. We went through point one, point two, point three. Point four. We have very little understanding of the extremely strong influence that our attitudes about ourselves, money, work, and life in general affect our ability to gain and build wealth. Yeah, you know, our attitudes. You know, we see people who you know, accomplish things and then they blow it. You know, we wonder why, you know, because they're not mentally prepared to handle the things that they are seeking at times. And so we blow it. I can think of a lot of examples. I won't call out names because, you know, some of the people, they're no longer here, you know, but and I hope, you know, that they're resting in peace. You know, I remember out of the Maryland area, you know, everybody was real happy for this brother who basically jumped out of the gym playing ball, you know. Got drafted by the Boston Celtics and then had a cocaine overdose and died, you know, celebrating, over-celebrating and celebrating in the wrong way and blew it. And people still would be, you know, wondering what, you know, he would have been able to do, you know, at that for that team, you know. And Paul Pierce wears a number that he would have wore if he had played for the Celtics. You know, and so that these things that happen to folk who are not mentally prepared to embrace the success that can come our way, and that's what he means about our attitudes about ourselves, money, work, and life, and generally how they affect our ability to gain and build wealth. And so for a lot of us, you know, we have to change attitudes. We have to change the way we think in order to make things work for us the way that they can work. And those are the four premises that he talks about in chapter one. And then he goes into chapter two. He goes into what is wealth. And he talks about what is wealth. Okay, one. First thing he say, what is wealth? Number one, wealth is related to the total net cash coming in per week, month, or year. He said one of the things that wealth is related to the total net cash coming in. In other words, you know, hey, you got cash coming in, what are your expenses? Usually, most of us, our expenses are more than what we got coming in. So, you know, we start off broke. We owe and out because what we got coming in, we got more going out than we got coming in, and they don't catch up with one another fast enough. So, you know, the whole thing about this thing called cash flow, and it's, you know, so wealth is related to cash flow. Number two, wealth is related to immediate access to cash. See, that's another thing. You know, what do you have if you don't have cash on you? You got cash in the bank. What do you have that you can, you know, make liquid that can get you cash? And it's interesting, you know, when I say, you know, wealth is related to immediate access to cash. You know, a lot of times, you know, you be talking to people about an opportunity or something. They get excited about it, and, you know, you want to share it with them. And then you tell them how much it costs to get involved. When you say, well, it costs $400, and the person tells you, wow, I don't have that. See, that's sad, because that means they don't have immediate access to $400 or $100. I mean, you know, and something comes along. I mean, I remember a friend of mine in Baltimore, Maryland, who had a bar, and he was talking about the importance of cash flow, because he said sometimes, you know, there would be a deal on a, you know, coming up on the train, where there'd be a whole two or three cars that's full with beer that he could get at that time for like $1 a case. But he had to buy the whole box car. And, you know, he said, you know, hey, you know, but the thing is, by having a certain amount of cash flow and access to cash, he said, you know, he needed to be able to have access to cash so that he, when those kind of deals came through, that he could move on them. And so, you know, this immediate access to cash is important. It's one of the ways of measuring wealth. Number three, wealth is related to one's total borrowing capacity. Not only do you want to be able to have access to immediate cash, but, you know, how much can you borrow? You know, so wealth is the ability to have quick access, say 3 to 5 days or so, to a large sum of money. Where do the wealthy store this money? That is a good question, because most people think the wealthy store their money in a savings account. That is usually not the case. The wealthy's money is stored in the value of their home, as far as being able to get equity out, insurance policy, some savings accounts, stocks and bonds, and other types of investment funds, businesses, accounts, outstanding debts, gold, silver, jewelry, and a host of other appreciating, gaining in value assets and possessions. Just like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, he died cash broke but asset rich because of the things that he owned. You know, because of the things that he owned. So, you know, you want to be able to, you know, have quick access to cash, your own, and then, you know, your ability to be able to borrow. And then a lot of us have heard of this one before. Wealth is total net worth. You know, what are you worth at the end of the day? When you take what you have and subtract what you owe, what are you worth? And, you know, we need to always keep track of what our net worth is. Some of us, we don't do that. We living paycheck to paycheck, moving along. We never make assessments of our net worth. And so, you know, it's very important that we do that. He has a whole section about breaking down net worth. Next, he said, wealth is related to one's home environment. Now, see, that's very key. Again, you know, related to your home environment. What, do you have a peaceful home environment? You know, some of our home environments are too noisy. And noise, when there's noise all the time, when there's noise all the time, then what happens is your brain can't function the way it needs to function to think, because it's constantly being bombarded with noise, which is, becomes a distraction. It needs to be able to think. You know, there's a thing that people talk about, how true it is or how true it's not. I really don't know. But, you know, people say that, you know, when Bill Gates was growing up, you know, he'd be down in the basement. And his mother would holler down the basement because it was so quiet. The lights was off. And, you know, she said, "Bill, what are you doing?" His response was, "I'm thinking." You know, now, again, I don't know how true that is or, you know, how true it's not, you know what I mean? But again, that's powerful. You know, how many of us have thinking time? But that's related to your home environment, how you live. Again, he says, in relationship to that, wealth is related to lifestyle. You know, what is the lifestyle of people who have wealth? You know, well, one, I'm going to share with you person that was in my life when I was in junior college. You know, when I was in junior college, all the way through college, junior college, when I got to four-year college later on, you know, I always was pretty active. So, you know, in junior college, I was in the Black Student Union and then eventually became president of student government. And the president of the college, Dr. Harry Bard, was a wealthy man. He was president also of the college. And he used to drive this old car to the college, you know. And I was a young person, you know. This was 1973. He retired in 74, 1973. So, you know, I'm talking to Dr. Bard one day, and I'm asking him to say, you know, Dr. Bard, wow, you know, you could get at that time, you know, a Cadillac was considered, you know, a car. Again, you know, coming from the African-American community, at the bar, what kind of money you make, you should be driving a Cadillac to the college. You know, he looked at me, you know, and talked to me. You know, he had me come in his office because he was mentoring me, even though I didn't know it. That's what it was called at the time. And he said, "Look, young man," he says, "money is about not how much you spend, how much you keep." He said, "See that old car? That old car gets me back and forth here to the campus." He said, "That's my city drive-around car." He said, "Until it can't drive anymore, I'm going to drive it. It's paid for. It gets me back and forth where I want to go." He says, "I have another car at home that's a road car for when me and my wife go out of town, if we choose to drive. Other than that," he said, "you know, we take the train or the plane." And He said, but, you know, I don't need what you're talking about. And he said, that would be a waste of my money. And the key was, you know, he told me, say, it's about how much you keep, not how much you spend. And, you know, because I also asked him about his watch. You know, that time, you know, watch that was really good, but also people considered cheap, was called a Timex. You know, I said, you got a Timex, you know. He said, it keeps time fine. I said, oh, okay. But again, you'd be surprised of what wealthy do and how they maintain and keep their wealth and their money. Next, Sabir talks about wealth is related to leisure time. See, and that's something that people are really losing right now is this leisure time piece. I mean, especially when people are forced now to work 2 and 3 jobs. You work 2 and 3 jobs with no benefits, then you know you don't even get a vacation. Your only vacation is if those 2 or 3 jobs happen to fall where you don't have to work one of them on the weekend. But you don't even get a vacation. Not to say that, you know, the steady job, which has basically gone away from this country for the masses of people, where it used to be a time people could work one job, support their family, the wife could stay home, and, you know, you had 2 week vacation or a week vacation, and you packed it. You know, the children up and you get in the car and you go away somewhere. I mean, I remember them days from growing up, you know, in terms of my parents, you know, the vacation over. A lot of times we also made the weekend trips because we could run up to Philadelphia from Baltimore to visit cousins and stuff like that. But now with people working 2 and 3 jobs, how many people really have leisure time? So, you know, wealth is related to leisure time also. Wealth is related to defense. Something happens, how well can you financially defend yourself? You have a crisis. You end up with a crisis. How well can you take care of that without having, you know, to hock everything or call everybody to, you know, tell them I got a problem, I need some money, you know, hey, my light's about to get cut off, I need this, I need that. I mean, wealth is related to how well you can defend yourself when, you know, different things come along. Most of us, we have a very poor defense system. Wealth is related to reputation and respect. You know, one of my mentors, Mr. Robert Clay, who's also an ancestor now, and may he rest in peace. But Robert used to talk to me. He was a self-made millionaire out of the Baltimore, Maryland area. And you know, Robert used to talk about, even though he was a millionaire, the things that he, you know, was taking care of in the community, and not, you know, in a way in which he felt bad for other people, but he was saying that you have wealth, then your reputation is everything, and that you need to make sure that you give back. When I attended Robert's funeral, it was over like about 5,000-6,000 people at the funeral, and they asked at one point in the funeral, anybody that Robert ever helped with a bill, made a donation to, or, you know, he paid people's children's college tuition, paid people's light bills, he paid people's rent, almost everybody in the church stood up. And, you know, I remember an experience that we had. Because, you know, I've been doing this entrepreneurial piece for a long time. Back in the 90s, early in the mid-90s, we took a group of children to Opryland to Black Enterprise Business Entrepreneur Conference because they had a teen component for youth. We took 3 youth that year, and we ran a little short on money. And, you know, Robert Clay made a donation to our nonprofit to help pick up the rest of the cost. And he, you know, I remember him telling me, he said, you know, what you're doing is good. He said, you're planting the right seed in their mind early. He said, because our young people need to be taught, go to school, get an education, so that they can figure out what type of business they're going to run on. He said, and you don't have to do it as an individual. They can come together, form a corporation. He said, but that's what we should be teaching our children, how to form corporations, how to form business entities, how to form LLCs for those that, you know, got that big personality, you know, their own corporation. But teach them how to work together. I mean, because all a gang is really is a corporation. It's just that it's doing negative stuff in the community and reaping havoc on people. But the same way young people get involved in gangs, we can have them involved in their own corporations. So, again, your reputation is very key, this thing in terms of wealth. Wealth is related to independence. You know, how independent are you? Most people are very, very dependent on you know, situations that keep them locked down. And so wealth is also related to independence. Hey, you're listening to Home-Based Business 101, and this is the Gospel of Working from Home with Baba Jahi here this Sunday morning. And we have the chat room open, and see one of the people in the chat room, Ruth Bradford, says, self-hatred is one of the underlying reasons we also sabotage our success. Yes, I mean, you know, and that's very key. You know, Malcolm X used to say, who taught you to hate yourself? You know, and... you know, and so this self-hatred, we block ourselves before we even get out of the gate. You know, I had a chance to watch Raising in the Sun again the other day, the one with Danny Glover in it. Wow, I mean, just, you know, the end, you know, with those that know the story, you know, he gives some money to a brother because they're going to make this deal, open up this bar. And brother ripped him off. You know what I mean? And he, you know, because they all had this money, this insurance money that came to the family, and they was trying to decide what to do with it, you know. And he figured, you know, they invested in a business, you know, they could solve the life of the ghetto, you know. And the mother, you know, wanted to be able to move into this house. And but go back and, you know, Raising in the Sun, I mean, you know, hey, powerful, powerful, powerful piece. You know, Lorraine Hansberry, powerful, powerful person in terms of a writer, you know. Really, you know, it was about inspiring and uplifting us. So check that out, you know, because that self-hatred thing is something that really, and thank you for that comment, Ruth. The self-hatred piece is really detrimental. Hey, again, I need to take a station ID break here for a second, and we'll come back. I'm going to dive into, we gave you some of the things of what wealth is related to, and we're going to dive into common characteristics of fortune builders, and then chapter 4, which is one a lot of people are sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for us to discuss, is what's holding black folk into poverty. Again, you listen to Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Home-Based Business 101 is part of the Black Talk Radio Network, and we're working constantly to improve Black Talk Radio. And our website is www.blacktalkradio.ning.com. You can go there and find all about Black Talk Radio. We're working to get our own branded network here on Blog Talk Radio. And with that, it costs money. And so we created what's called Friends of Black Talk Radio. And I'm going to bring up a short commercial here with the founder and CEO of Black Talk Radio, Mr. Scotty Reed.
The Black Talk Radio Network is a collaboration between the Black Talk Media Project and its media partners to produce online radio programming that deals with news and information related to the black community. A lot of work is being put into creating an independent black network, but in order to fulfill our vision, we need your financial support. For just $12 a year, you can contribute to making this vision a reality. Become one of the friends of Black Talk Radio today and help build the future of independent grassroots black radio.
If you go to the homepage of Home-Based Business 101 and you scroll down to where it says links, you'll see the link for Friends of Black Talk Radio. You can click that link and send in your $12 donation. It'll take you to a secure PayPal account page, and you can make that donation. And, hey, you know, we need your support. This is listener-supported radio. Okay, before I get into common characteristics of fortune builders, I see Ruth has called in on the question line, so I'm assuming she has a question or comment, and I'm going to open the line up. Ruth, you have a question or comment?
Good morning, Baba Jahi.
Good morning. All right.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show. This morning, I'm really enjoying your topic. Where can we get the book that you are discussing?
Right now, you can key it in on Amazon. I'm going to see if it's on Barnes & Noble. If so, when the show is over, I'll give you a call so I can tell you how to get it out of your mall, because I need you to start using your free mall. You have a mall where you can go to Barnes & Noble, and you can buy, you know, the book if it's in Barnes & Noble. I think it is there, but I'll be checking after the show. But, you know, on that mall, there's over 700 stores, and every time you shop from them, you get cash back and 30% commission, and that's a gift that we give out to people. So I want to make sure I show you how to take advantage of that mall that you know, gave you back some time ago. But that's I believe it's on Barnes & Noble. I know it is on Amazon. And
okay.
The brother said, I talked to him yesterday. He's going to come on the show next week. And because he has another book called Getting Black Folks. So he has four books, by the way. Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success, Getting Black Folks to Sell, which is a book that I used when I used to sell life insurance with A.L. Williams. It was very helpful in terms of helping me with dealing with that industry in terms of you know, marketing, selling, in terms of really understanding selling. And
yeah,
he has another book, which is a good one, you know, hot topic. The book is called Money Issues in Black Male Female Relationships.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's you know, I probably, when I get him to come on the show next week, I'll get him to cover some of the things of each one of the books, you know, that he wrote and why he wrote them. I mean, again, he said when he wrote this book back in 1980, now this book was written in 1980. And, you know, 30 years ago.
Wow.
There was a voice out there sharing this information. Before Dennis Kimbrough wrote Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice, before all of these, at that time, as he states, there was no black book on the
mm-hmm.
market about how do we deal with wealth, and based
right.
on our culture, you know, and our ethnicity in terms of who we are, our habits, our social patterns. And so, you know, that's very, very key in terms of when he developed this.
Okay, well, one last point. You note, you said that the mall was a free gift, but basically the free gift that you're giving is your time, your talent,
mm-hmm.
and your resources. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing to help build the businesses of the many people that call into your show. You know, we're all in different network marketing, direct sales, or we're doing different entrepreneurial projects. And so I want to thank you for the gift of your time, your talent, and your wisdom. And I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listening.
All right.
Okay. People, want to get through this other chapter so I can get into the one I really want to discuss today is common characteristics of fortune builders. I'm just going to cover a couple of these. Well, you know, number one is he say, hey, fortune builders think big. Well, we know, you know, those of us that are out here doing, we know you have to think big. You can't think small. You got to think big. See, company I'm in, 27,000 people in your hierarchy, you get $1 billion bonus check. You know, and there's people already say, you know, think that. I mean, you know, some people just focusing on, you know, the 3,000 people and the $50,000 bonus check. Well, if you can get 3,000, you can get 27,000. I mean, but you got to think it. You got to think big. This next, fortune builders do not think in terms of failure. See, you can't think in terms of failure. You know, hey, look at Brett. You know, you understand Brett, you know, again, I'm talking about Brett Favre. You know, he came back last year, you know, and he should have been in the Super Bowl. You know, his team fumbled the ball 6 times. They, you know, they weren't there. Their head wasn't in the game, fumbling the ball like that. You know, but Brett did what he said he was going to do. But he couldn't carry the team all by himself. And that last play where he threw the interception, one of his people was open, but the guy had already fumbled the ball a couple of times, and Brett didn't try to throw the ball to him. And he tried to force a pass and got an interception. You know the rest. The Saints went on to win the game and all of that. But, you know, Brett Favre is one of those people that I think about who definitely does not think in terms of failure. And, I mean, that's you know, you got to apply those kind of thoughts to your business life. Fortune builders set their own pace and march towards their fortune. fortune builders set their own pace and then march toward their fortune. In other words, you know, you got to set your own pace. You run at the pace that you can run it. I tell people that all the time, and I get people involved. You know, you set the pace. You know, yeah, I'm running at a certain pace, but, you know, my pace might not be your pace. Your pace might be faster than mine. You set the pace. Fortune builders assume full responsibility for the defeats and victories. They don't play the blame game. See, don't play the blame game. So many people, you know, they play the blame game. They always got excuses. You know, and the military had a big, you know, influence on me because the military had a saying, and I'm just going to paraphrase it because I try to keep language clean here on this show, what I try to do. But, you know, the military used to say, you know, excuses are like AHs. The bigger the excuse, the bigger the AH. And y'all know what I mean by that. So, I mean, they said, you know, there's no excuse. You know, what is the excuse? You can't make excuses. You assume full responsibility for your defeats or your victories. If you lost, you admit it. And you admit why, so you don't do it again. Fortune builders make many, many quick decisions. So you have to be able to make decisions quick. And then once you make them, you got to keep them. You got to make decisions quick. Fortune builders have a clear conscience about making and having a lot of money. See, fortune builders don't have a poverty conscience. They're not worried about, you know, wow, what am I going to do with all of that money? Well, go get it first. You know, well, I heard people who say, I wouldn't want to have a lot of money because it changes people. Well, just don't change. You know, you don't. You know what they're really saying is, you know, they don't believe that they can achieve that. I mean, so they use that as an excuse. You know, say, well, I wouldn't want a lot of money anyway because you know it changes you. You know, hey, yeah, it's going to change you. You're going to be able to live. You're going based on this society that we live in. Not that I'm saying you know money is everything. But, you know, hey, if you use it right, it's like a tool. I call it like a tool, like a hammer, a screwdriver. It's on what you do with the hammer or the screwdriver. Do you take and, you know, hit nails in the wood with the hammer, or do you go around busting out people's, you know, car windows? That's up to you what you do with the hammer. So it's the same with the money. You can be where you become a blessing to others, or, you know, or you can be, you know, one of those people that's just negative, you know, use negative before you got the money. I mean, because all you're doing is being your real self anyway. So, you know, don't let people run that game on you about, you know, I wouldn't want a lot of money because it changes people. Another key characteristic of fortune builders is that fortune builders program and motivate themselves. In other words, as a fortune builder, you got to put yourself. You got to hardwire, as Mark Yarnell says, you got to hardwire your life. And, you know, he talks about, hey, before you do any kind of presentation, whatever your favorite song is, you should be singing it, or you should have music that you listen to in the morning that helps you set your mood, your tone. You know, hardwire your life. That's what fortune builders do, you know. And, you know, that's why my theme song, It's My Time. You know, we wake up in the morning, walk around here singing it. You know, my grandson, he chants it, you know, and hums it. And, you know, but you got to hardwire your life. So you got to find out there was, you know, something that makes you feel happy, something that motivates you, because you can't build with Down syndrome thought. See, because you'll destroy, as Ruth said earlier, you know, that self-hatred. You'll sabotage your success. Most people don't succeed because they quit on themselves or they do something that holds them back. The other thing he says, you know, is that fortune builders take risks. They're risk takers. You know, fortune builders are energetic. You know, fortune builders have a vision. Fortune builders have value for knowledge. And fortune builders have a money consciousness. And then check out those things he said. You know, and again, this was written in 1980, people. That's the thing I really want you to grasp, is that the brother wrote this book back in 1980, when basically we had no one out there speaking to us as a people. Then later on, we ended up with Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice by, you know, Dennis Kimbrough, whatever. But, you know, Brother George paved the way. And he's talking about vision. And you know, he talks about these things that just hold us back by not having a vision, not having a money conscience, not being able to be afraid to take risks. And those things really, really hold us back. Hey, I'm going to take one more station break here and station ID piece. And then when I come back, we're going to dive into this last chapter called What's Holding Black People Into Poverty. You're listening to Home-Based Business 101, and this is Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning show is the Gospel of Working from Home with yours truly, Baba Jahi. Home-Based Business 101 is part of the Black Talk Radio Network, and Black Talk Radio Network, we're working to establish our own branded network here on Blog Talk Radio, and we need your support. And here's a short message from the founder and CEO of Black Talk Radio, Mr. Scotty Reed.
The Black Talk Radio Network is a collaboration between the Black Talk Media Project and its media partners to produce online radio programming that deals with news and information related to the black community. A lot of work is being put into creating an independent black network, but in order to fulfill our vision, we need your financial support. For just $12 a year, you can contribute to making this vision a reality. Become one of the friends of Black Talk Radio today and help build the future of independent grassroots black radio.
All right, all right. And you can go to the link on the homepage of Home-Based Business 101, and you'll find that link, Friends of Black Talk Radio, and you can click that link and send in your $12 donation to a secure PayPal account. All right, hey, last chapter that we're going to cover today, what's holding black folks in poverty? What's holding black folks in poverty? And one of the things that, George puts out there is that, you know, many of us use racism as an excuse. He said, hey, racism, yes, it's a pain in the butt, and it dampens our spirits. He said, but every successful black person in the history of this country, whether they were rich or not, had to overcome racism. It's probably less of an excuse for failing now for the strong and determined than ever before in history of this racist nation. Yeah, racism exists. But again, as I said earlier, Madam C.J. Walker lived in a very racist time and, you know, became a millionaire and, you know, and had 20,000 distributors working, you know, with her to build what she did, had her own factory. I mean, you know, so, you know, Frederick Douglass, you know, hey, look at what Fred did. You know, he was on the board of directors of banks, lived a very decent life. And so, hey, we can use it as an excuse. Yes, I'm not denying that it exists, and everybody has to overcome it. Okay. Rule number one, what's holding black folks into poverty? You guessed it. Lack of awareness of wealth-building principles. The lack of awareness of wealth-building principles. We do not like studying wealth-building principles. And that's, you know, what we attempt to do here on this show. And, you know, some of you say we're doing a good job at it, and I thank you, you know, for those comments. Getting people to be able to deal with gaining understanding of wealth-building principles. Number two, looking for a good job. Sounds familiar? I was telling people that in 1980 there was no good jobs. 30 years ago. Telling people, you know, people running around looking for the good job. That's what I like to say, you know, jump out of bed, jump on the beltway, just over broke. You know, people have been jumping. Been jumping, jumping, jumping. You know, looking for that good job. Still ain't found it. But still, you know, running looking for it. I mean, it's the new plantation. And again, I mean, you know, hey, if you got to pick cotton for a little while so you can find your niche or get some training to be able to find what you need to be able to do, you know, I understand that, but don't pick cotton all your life, people. That's all. You know, hey, I worked jobs before, so I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. But you know, I don't do jobs no more. Me and jobs don't get along. I do projects. I bid on things. I do network marketing. I write proposals. I work for myself. So we need to do that. Quit looking for the good job. He said, number three, fear of failure. What will they say syndrome? You've heard that before. People are worried about what other people going to say about what you're doing. Ain't that something? I know we've heard it. People are shy. So I have said people have what's called a chicken list. You know, people that they know they should talk to about their business, but they won't talk to them. Why? Because they're afraid of what they're going to say. Whew, that's heavy. We're afraid of what other people are going to say about what we're doing. So much so that we deny ourselves and don't do what we know we should do because we're worried about what they're going to say. Who gives a darn about what they're going to say? You know, people going to say what they're going to say regardless of what you do, so you might as well go ahead and do what you need to do. Mark Donnell talks about the first thing that you need to get over in terms of building your business and your business attitude is to forget about impression management. Forget about what other people going to think and say about what you do. If you're doing something that's good and you know it's good, then work on it. So, again, he says, you know, number three, what's holding black people into poverty is fear of what other people going to say. Number four is new luxury car payments. Now, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, a nice car. But can you pay for it without having to pay a car note? See, that's when you know you're doing okay. But I see these people, I call them Mercy Benz. There's a whole lot of mercy going on in that house, boy. Mercy Benz, you know, people that got them, and because they have them, they think that's going to impress other people. See, we just kick money out to try to impress other people, though we can't afford the thing. If you going to be able to buy a car like that. I remember a friend of mine who introduced me to something years ago in terms of network marketing. The person really introduced me to L. Williams, would come to think of it. Yeah, Brother Francis L. Warren. I remember when he bought his Benz. He went in and he paid cash for it. Came in with a briefcase. Cash. You know, freaked the salesperson out. You know, but at the same time, he wanted to establish a certain kind of reputation in terms of, you know, who he was and what he was doing in network marketing. So he went in and he paid cash for his Mercy Benz. Cash, right on the spot, cash. So, you know, a lot of these people, though, they got these cars and they're killing them. I mean, you know, that's why I don't tell people, I don't believe in the concept of some people. You might have heard people tell people in network marketing, fake it till you make it. No, don't do that, people. You can't fake nothing. As Art Williams used to say, sooner or later, people are going to smell you out. Don't play the fake it till you make it game. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. But when you get it and you got it, you got it. Number five, what's holding black folk into poverty? I talked about this earlier. Television. Same thing that's causing black children to flunk in school. Too much television. I had a friend of mine, you know, he used to always break it down like this. Tell lie vision. You know what he said? Tell lie vision. Yeah, you know, we spend more time watching television than anybody else in this country. And we get, you know, our information from tell live vision. You ask people what book have they read, they can tell you about what show they watched. You know, I had a person one time came to my house and saw all my books in my library and asked me, did my head hurt? I said, what are you talking about? So you read all them books? I said, yeah. They said, your head don't hurt? Your head don't hurt? I say, no. Someone, you know, made a comment in the chat room, television and beer are a powerful prison. Yes, they are. And he also talks about that. One of the things that's holding black people into poverty is drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol, you know, holds us into poverty. Another one, sexual escapades. Sexual escapades. I mean, that's deep. I mean, I know some. And with the creation of Viagra, oh, wow, people are off the charts. I mean, I know some people, you know, that seems to be the only thing that they think It's worthwhile trying to conquer. It's you know, their sexual escapades of who they able to hook up with, and you know, and that barroom talk of who done did what to whom, and that becomes, you know, their what they stick their chest out about, you know. And see, you got to be like an eagle. An eagle is monogamous, and eagle stays with their mate. Check out eagles now. That's what eagles do. They stay with their mate. You know, you got to bond. I mean, it's so important. I mean, in a relationship, you have to bond. It's going to be ups and downs, but the two of y'all have to decide that this is it. See, and that's where me and my wife are at. You know, that's why we've been together over 24 years. You know, because we know this is it. You know, and you just hey, enough on that one. Number 8, prison records. You know, we got these rap sheets. Fortunately, now some industries nowadays, you know, we can get people involved in where if they've made a mistake, that, you know, it won't be held against them. But, you know, at one time that's a big holdback. Unemployment, you know, because again, with, you know, when you're forcing the unemployment and issues concerning that, you know, unless you use your unemployment wisely. Most people don't take the time when they're unemployed. And that's a great time to really start a business, really, because you can turn a negative into a positive. You might not cash flow as much as you was cash flowing when you had your job, so you got a budget, but you can take that. Now you have time freedom, and, you know, and you have some cash coming in while building a business. So unemployment can be also be a plus that can really get us out of poverty if we use it wisely, if you join unemployment. I mean, if you ain't never working away and join no unemployment, then I understand that's really rough. Number 10, isolation in the negative environment of the ghetto. Yeah, so some people refer to the ghetto universe. You know, again, I tell people all the time that want to go in business for themselves is that one of the things that you got to do is you got to break the negative ghetto universe. You got to break that thing, because people are going to tell you this can't be done, that can't be done. And, you know, you don't want to, if you're going in business, you don't want to get advice from what I call a W-2 wage earner. You know, and it's not putting people down that work a job, but a person that's working a job in most cases can't give you advice about how to build a business because they ain't never built one. You want to build a business, you need to go talk to somebody that's built a business. It's like to say, you know, if you want to make $1 million, find somebody that's made $1 million and let them mentor you. See? And do what they do. And you wow, it'll work for you. Excuse me. Number 11, poor business attitudes. Those of us that do go into business at times, sometimes our business attitude is very poor. I remember Brother George saying one time he did a workshop for me back in Baltimore back in the 80s. Is that, you know, black people go in business because they want to be somebody's boss. The other people go in business because they want to make money. We go in because we want to be somebody's boss, you know. And we need to make sure that we understand about being involved in business for ourselves. And when we're involved in business for ourselves, that we're offering something to people. That the main thing is that, you know, your customers are very, very valuable. So you want to make sure you have the right kind of business attitude. And number 12, which is a biggie, and I'm going to close out with, is non-acceptance of the delayed reward philosophy. In other words, you know, we want things right now. You know, right now, right now. You know, instant success. The only thing that's instant is Jell-O. You know, coffee, stuff like that. But success only comes before work in the dictionary. See, there's still that thing called work. We don't want to deal with delayed gratification. A lot of times we see people that achieve certain levels of things, we don't understand things that they put off so they could get there. Hey, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home-Based Business 101 with the gospel of working from home with you this Sunday morning. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. Next week, we will have Brother George, interview with Brother George on here and talk about some of his other books and dive in to the next chapter, which is called Taking Care of Serious Business. So, hey, I want to thank everybody that listened in this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And you know what time it is now. That's right. It's my time.
This Success Songs original composition for music and words that create powerful moments.